inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lee.
I've got an awesome interview for you today. Joining us on the podcast today are Kenji and Letizia. They were living in Seattle and they started buying rental properties, and eventually they had enough properties and enough rental income that they didn't need to work anymore. Now, today they still work. They consider themselves semi-retired. They work because they want to work. They work because they love their jobs. Letizia is working full-time. Kenji has cut back his hours and he's working part-time, and then he spends the rest of his time working on the rentals. But I think this is a great story, and I want to figure out exactly how they did this, how they got to where they are today. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back in 60 seconds, and we'll start the interview.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com/guide.
If you're a do-it-yourself landlord and you're looking for the ultimate online resource to help you better manage your rentals, check out Rentler. They have everything you could possibly need to help you better manage your rental properties, from taking online applications to tenant screenings and online payment processing. They have a special offer just for our listeners. If you sign up for a tenant screening, they'll give you a free year of ACH payment processing. Just reach out to their customer service department after you order. For more information, go to tryrentler.com/ACH. That's TryRentler.com/ACH. I am super excited to hear your story today. Welcome to the show, guys. Why don't we start with you just kind of telling us where you are today? I know you guys have reached financial freedom with your rental properties. Tell me, like, real quick, what that means, financial freedom.
Yeah, so for us, financial freedom means that our investments, and for us, we're focusing on real estate, are when our investments generate enough passive income or cash flow to pay for our living expenses.
And really what that means in practice for us is that we've been able to practice the amount of medicines that we want to. We've had the flexibility to come back when we wanted to, and the flexibility to be able to travel too.
That's great. So you're choosing to work because that's what you want to do, but you don't have to do it. And I think that is a really big mind shift. So is your outlook at work just totally different, knowing that you're there because you want to be there, not because you have to be there?
Yeah, it's night and day. When you don't have to be there, you know you have that that financial freedom. When you go into work, you can focus on, you know, the patient. You don't have to worry about, you know, paying the bills. You don't have to worry about picking up extra shifts to be able to pay the bills. It's a complete game changer. And also, when you're away from it for, you know, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, you know, you come back, you feel refreshed, and, you know, you're ready to see patients.
Yeah, that is really awesome. Now, how long did it take you from the time you bought your first rental property until you got to that point?
Yeah, for us, we were really fortunate. It took us 3 years to get from buying our first property. Well, we actually had a duplex to start, but buying our first property after that duplex and building up our portfolio to a point where we have enough cash flow to pay for our expenses.
Wow, 3 years. That is really incredible. So what? Tell me about what your portfolio looks like today, and then we'll take a step back and figure out how you got there. But what does your portfolio look like today?
We have 31 units, as well as three garages. And all of our units are mainly duplexes. We have a couple fourplexes and a couple single-family homes.
Okay. Now, all right, so take me back. How did you first get the idea that you wanted to buy rentals?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. So Kenji and I, we were involved in a business. And we were hoping that we were going to be able to sell. And we had taken a vacation to New Zealand. We had rented a camper van, and we really didn't have TV. We didn't have internet. And so what we decided on that trip was read books out loud to each other. And we started with Rich Dad Poor Dad, actually, and then got very excited about real estate investing and went on to other books. And during that time decided that, you know, with whatever money we had, we were from now on going to do real estate investing. And we were going to build up a source of passive income so that we could, you know, live the life we wanted and spend time together as a family.
That's so awesome. So you, before that trip, you really didn't have any interest in real estate. It was literally on that trip that you got the idea.
Yeah, I had been investing in real estate for a number of years, but I think what the trip did for me was to give us the focus, focusing on cash flowing properties, focusing on generating passive income. And this is one thing that I always say to Letizia is that Letizia helps me and keeps me on track. Whenever I get interested in like an appreciation play or some exciting new investment, she helps keep both of us on track and focused on, let's focus on duplexes, fourplexes, you know, the kind of the bread and butter investment.
Right.
And I would say Kenji, before we started this whole process, was doing appreciation plays mostly with land. And so he got stuck in the 2008 bubble and in the end didn't end up, you know, coming that far ahead at the end of, you know, 10 years of investing. So we really feel like our story started 3 years ago in terms of being successful investors.
So was the plan, I think we can generate some passive income off rental properties, or was the plan, let's see how many of these things we can buy and see if we can reach financial freedom?
Initially we somehow, and I don't even know how, we found out about Real Estate Professional, and we kind of realized we needed to build up fairly quickly. And the goal was actually to get financial freedom so that we could live the life we wanted. But we knew we wanted to get real estate professional status very early on so that we could start getting the tax benefits of it.
Right.
Being,
okay.
You know, physicians and having a significant income.
Right. Okay. So how did you start? Like, tell me about your first deal.
Well, we got connected to a really great real estate agent and she helped us build our team. So we got a contractor, we got a property manager, and so she helped find us deals. And so we started with two duplexes within a few months after that trip. And then by the end of the year, we had a total of 12 units.
Wow. So right out of the gate, you bought two units, like, right away?
Yeah.
Within
a couple months.
That's incredible.
We started with a non-investor real estate person initially, and we didn't really find anything because we didn't know what we were doing. He didn't know what he was doing for the first month or two.
Yeah.
But only once we found the investor real estate person who was just awesome that we were able to just start scooping up properties, and she found us off-market properties, and we grew very quickly.
So was that really the key, finding a realtor that knew how to do investing to guide you in the right way? Because Rich Dad Poor Dad doesn't really tell you what to do. It kind of plants the seed, but Kiyosaki is really careful to not tell you exactly what to do in that book. So was it really your realtor that pointed you in the right direction, or was it research you were doing on your own?
I think Rich Dad Poor Dad is really just an inspirational book.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't tell you anything about what actually to do in reality.
Right.
We found Millionaire Real Estate Investor, the book by Keller, I guess.
Okay, yeah, Gary Keller. Yeah.
Very useful in knowing what to do. But yeah, we needed that real estate person as well to help us out, especially early on in the process when we weren't 100% knowing what we were doing at all.
Okay. So the realtor guided you, said, this is a good neighborhood. Let's get going. Now you guys are doctors. You're busy. Did you try to manage the properties yourself, or did you have a property manager from the beginning?
So we definitely had a property manager from the beginning, although for real estate professional status, real estate had to be my primary profession. So I did spend a lot of time with the properties. Most of my focus on those properties was on renovating and fixing them up, working with the contractors, designing the spaces. And so I'd say most of my effort was there so that and having a property manager freed me up to be able to, you know, do that as well as look for new properties.
So after that, you said you had 10 properties in the first year. Is that right?
Actually, I think it was five properties and 12 doors.
12 doors, okay. Yeah. And that's in your first year. And then did you just keep going after that? Just keep, like, every couple of months buying another property?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, whenever there were deals, it probably was ended up being every few months we would pick up a couple of properties. Some months we'd pick up two. But we kept going until today. And things did slow down over the last year. So right now we're at a total of 31 units and three garages.
You've got three different property managers. So are the properties in different areas or just different parts of Seattle?
Yeah, so we have properties in North Seattle, South Seattle, and Spokane. So we have property managers for each of those three areas.
Okay.
And then supported living, which is really a fourth kind of group involved as well in our management.
Yeah, so let's talk about the supportive living. So that's, tell me exactly how that works.
So supported living is a program that's state funded, and state provides housing for people with intellectual disabilities, and the state contracts with companies to provide these services. And so then as owners, we provide housing and we contract with these companies who get state funding, and then they place these tenants in our homes. And so we just started doing this, and we have one property now in Spokane that's with supported living.
And so it's basically like a group house where you have like a couple different roommates in there.
Correct. The companies pay for each room in the Spokane market. They pay about $400 a room. So if you have a 3-bedroom, it'll be $1,200. And so our duplex, for example, in Spokane, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath duplex. So it's a total of 6 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms. And so we get a total of $2,400 for that property, for that duplex.
Okay. And what would the market rate be if you were just to have regular tenants in there?
Yeah, so we had regular tenants in there before, and we were only getting about $950 per side.
And that's including, you know, we had management fees on top of that. We also had utility fees that we're paying, which were about $200 a month as well. And then we did have vacancies. I mean, one of the beauties of supported living is if one of the roommates moves out, the company continues to pay you for that room until they find a new person. So you never have any vacancies.
So no utilities, no property manager, no vacancy, and you're making more money. Like it almost sounds like you're probably making twice as much doing the supportive living. Is that about right?
Well, it's actually better than that. When we did the numbers, our cash on cash originally with the regular tenants was around 10%. And after we got supported living in there and got rid of all those expenses that Letizia mentioned, our cash on cash went up to 40%.
Wow. Wow. That's a huge difference. Is there any downside to doing this? Like, is there anything that, like, it seems like the perfect situation. Like, is there any downside?
You know, we don't see any downside once the units are filled. I think one of the challenges that we've had is actually filling the units sometimes, you know, getting tenants into these units depends on whether or not the tenants actually like the unit and whether or not they like their roommates that are going to be living there. And so sometimes it's challenging to fill it. And we've had a couple of units that are actually sitting empty right now being considered for supported living. So I think you have to tolerate a little bit of vacancy in the beginning, but once they're filled, I don't see really any downside except for the fact that the properties, you may not get the same rent appreciation with these as you would if they were just being rented to regular tenants. Right. But as of now, we're getting more rents from supported living than we would with the general population.
And so if there's any maintenance, like you said, there's no property manager. If something breaks at the house, how does that get repaired?
So that's what I would say is actually the other downside. Without having a property manager, it means that we've got to do some of it. It doesn't mean we're doing the whole job of our previous property managers, because the supported living company has, they respond to calls from the tenant. They will send somebody out from their maintenance crew to evaluate whether or not the damage was caused by their tenants or whether or not it was damage that was, that basically is our responsibility to repair. If it's our responsibility, we've created a relationship with one of our contractors that he will go and take care of it on our side. But okay. We still need to be the middleman in contacting him and doing that footwork.
Right.
Obviously, if it's their tenant's responsibility, they take care of it and they pay for it in terms of fixing it up.
Now, you guys are living in Hawaii today. So it's not like you can just run over to the property. So is there ever a reason why you would have to go there, or could you always rely on your contractor and the state agency to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of?
Yeah, being out of state, we have to rely on our team to take care of the issues. But you know, we built a pretty good team over there. So, you know, if there's a problem, if the contractor can't make it, then I feel pretty comfortable asking our realtor to go over there, or even our property manager, even though they're not managing the property anymore, I would feel comfortable having them okay. Go over there. And, you know, we would just pay them just to do that.
Now, you guys were living in Seattle when you first started building the portfolio, and then at some point you moved to Hawaii. Has that been a big adjustment at all, like being a local landlord and then transitioning to being an out-of-state landlord?
Not really. I think it's been pretty a smooth transition, because even from the beginning, we've been using property managers. I think the biggest difference is trying to manage renovations and repairs, you know, bigger projects. You really have to rely on, you know, pictures and conversations with your contractor. So I think that part's a lot harder, just because I was on site so much when I was living in Seattle, just shooting up to North Seattle and South Seattle. So I think that's probably the biggest difference.
How about buying properties? Have you added any new properties to your portfolio since you moved?
Yeah, in fact, we added a property that the one Kenji was saying that's currently they're considering for supported living. We bought a duplex with 2 bedrooms, 1 bath each side. And we had our contractor add 2 bedrooms and a bathroom in each basement. And so we haven't even seen that duplex, and our contractor has done
awesome.
All this work, and you know, it's hopefully going to turn into supported living and be a great purchase.
Now, talk me through how you bought that property. So did your realtor come to you with that deal, or did you find that online by yourself?
Yeah. So our realtor brought that to us. It was an off-market deal, and you know, we knew it immediately. Just based on the numbers that, you know, it would cash flow, it would be good. And when we buy, we don't buy for supported living. We buy with regular tenants in mind, just because we want to make sure that it'll work in either situation.
Yeah.
And so, so the realtor just told us about the off-market deal, and we just did everything remotely.
And our realtor is phenomenal in that when he goes in for the inspection, he'll bring our construction guy, and actually we're also sending our property manager. And so by the time we have an inspection done, we know what needs to be fixed up. We know approximately how much it's going to cost, and we know how much the place will rent for if we just rent it to a regular tenant.
That's perfect.
So our three-person team is there for every property as well.
And so are they going over, like, during the inspection, or are they going over before you get the property under contract?
Yeah, usually during the inspection, we try to coordinate everybody's schedule to be there that day.
Okay. So you probably have a rough idea of what the property is going to rent for just from owning properties in the area, but you just need that confirmation from the manager?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the manager that we have right now has been spot on with all of his estimates. And so, but you know, every street, and this is probably similar in other cities, every street's a little bit different. And you know, every neighborhood's a little bit different in terms of what the rents will be. But yeah, certainly having that experience in the market helps us have a good guess at what the numbers are going to be. But having the property manager confirm it is really key.
Sure, sure. Now, tell me about when your realtor came to you with the deal. Do you just look at the MLS listing, or is your agent going over there to see the property and report back to you on what it's like?
Yeah, so our realtor will go over there. They'll try to get in to see the property, and when they're in, they'll usually send us a video of their walkthrough. And so that's so we've had pretty good information.
Yeah, idea what it's like. Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, online things can look at, like, there was a property that one of my realtors came to me with recently that looked good online, but then when she went over to the property, the house next door had like a bunch of garbage out front. And it was the kind of thing that you weren't going to get a good tenant that would live next to that person as a neighbor. And that's the kind of thing that you're not going to see that online. Like, you need someone to go out there and look at it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good that your realtor will go out there, kind of report back to you on everything. And then you've got your team checking it out. And so with that house, I mean, you've never seen it. You've had work done, and you know, pretty soon it's going to be producing passive income for you, which is really great.
We have a number of properties we've never seen, actually.
Wow.
I would say one thing that really helps us is having investor real estate agents who actually do investing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Our real estate agent in Spokane, for example, he and his family own a number of properties. And so even he is able to give us great estimates for rent. You know, if we didn't have a property manager lined up, I think he really could do it too.
That's awesome. Well, tell me about your blog. So you guys have a blog where you're writing about a lot of the stuff that you're doing every day with your rentals. Tell me about the blog.
Yeah, our blog really comes from all of our experiences investing and generating passive income to allow us to live the life we want, and also to practice medicine on our own terms. And so, you know, we really, you know, we've been spending, you know, over the last couple of years, we've been helping a lot of friends get into real estate investing, become real estate professionals, in addition to continuing to practice medicine. And so we wanted to reach a broader audience, and that's why we started our blog.
Yeah, you've got some really great articles on there. Tell me the name of it.
So it's semiretiredmd.com.
Awesome. Well, I will go ahead and put a link to that on our show notes page. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode157. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.